Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Nathan East, hanging with the Teddy Bear on LOTL Radio, The Zone.
Wednesday, getting my days confused. Lord have mercy. A happy belated 4th of July to everyone. And welcome to Night Tracks Radio. Lord have mercy. I want to thank everyone for tuning in and tuning out all the negativity as today's artist spotlight, legendary Rock and Roll Hall of Fame guitars of the Doobie Brothers and founding member of the band Steely Dan, the legendary Mr. Jeff Skunk Baxter will be joining us this evening as we get knee-deep and lost in his new album, Speed of Heat. So I want everybody to kind of sit back and relax, enjoy the vibe as always. Again, hope everyone had a wonderful weekend, a wonderful 4th of July. Hope everyone came out very safe, very sound. A lot of things to be proud of, a lot of things to be thankful for. So we're just waiting for Brother Jeff to get on the line with us so he can bless us with this new music, of course, Speed of Heat. And remember, family, to get all the latest updates, let your fingers do walking. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's at YouTube. That's at Night Tracks with two X's, Night Tracks Radio Podcast. That's on YouTube. Also, you can catch up with us on all social media outlets on TikTok and Night Tracks Radio, Facebook, same thing, and social media as far as Instagram. It's the same thing. That's at Night Tracks. Again, with two X's, that's Night Tracks Radio. And if you have a particular artist that you'd like to have, like for us to have on our show, whether it's on iHeartRadio or either on Facebook Live, be sure to send us an email. We're here to make sure that you're pleased and you're happy, but more importantly, we want to make sure that we bring real music back to their waves. That's more important than anything else. Again, we're just waiting for Brother Baxter to give us a call. The album is fantastic, from special appearances from Johnny Lang and, of course, the legendary Mr. Michael McDonald. So let's get into it. On behalf of Night Tracks Radio, it is my honor to have the legendary Mr. Jeff Skunk Baxter on the show. And we, yeah, I think we lost him for a hot second. There we go. Let's see if we got him on there. Brother Baxter, is that you?
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, Brother Baxter, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
There you go. Thank you so much for joining us. It is definitely an honor to have you on the show.
Okay, I sent Mike a call. He's going to send a Zoom link, but we're good now, right?
We're good.
Right.
Good, but thank you so much, man, for joining us again. It is an honor to have you on the show, and congratulations congratulations on a wonderful new album, Speed of Heat. And I got to ask you, man, you got to start making some more albums like that. We're missing a lot of soul in the industry right now.
Well, I appreciate it's it only took me 13 years, so we'll hopefully we'd speed things up.
One of the things that I've always loved and admired about you, you've always been very outspoken, which I appreciate, and I want to get your thoughts I wanted to get your thoughts on how music has been it's been completely commercialized and taking the pure essence of musicianship from the industry. And I wanted your thoughts on that.
Well, have a conference actually coming up in Washington, D.C. at the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies on what's happened with ChatGPT, because there's already there are already a number of compositions that are pretty good that have just been, you know, sort of pulled out of the ether based on artificial intelligence. The real question is going to be, are the movie and TV houses going to say, which is something that they wanted to do for many years, is to figure out a way to eliminate musicians altogether so they don't have to pay for music. And
right.
then the next question is going to be, okay, well, if it starts to get good, then what does that mean? Does it, when it starts to have emotional content, in the same way as I've seen some pretty amazing digital rendering of, you know, human beings that capture a lot of the neuropassive linguistics, which is, I guess, a fancy word for talking about body language and nonverbal communication, that pretty compelling. So I guess the answer to your question is I'm not sure. I'm watching a huge phenomenal, if there's such a word, change in art, which to me is sort of the last bastion of humanity. I'm not sure where this is going. And the question will be, as you say, music has sort of, before all this artificial intelligence, or that whole artificial intelligence, ChatGPT, et cetera, came to the fore, music was already starting to lose a little bit of its art and become, well, I guess when the first iPod came out, it became more fashion. In other words, I'm wearing these sunglasses, I'm wearing these sneakers, and I have this music on my belt. So, I don't know, I think we're getting to a singularity here. I'm not quite sure.
Well, I must say from a personal standpoint, it was very disheartening to me, and I've said this many times, when they started removing the record stores and everything became digital, and it took the pure essence of what, to me, what music really stood for. It was something unique and special and loving about being able to go to a record store and buy an album, to have that kind of personal interaction with a particular group that you loved. And everything was based upon communication. When I go back to the time and the years that you spent with the Doobie Brothers, it was all about love. It was all about communication and love for one another. There was no color lines. And what I'm seeing now, I see a lot of music being exploited in a very negative way. And it's become very detriment to where I see how our country is moving. There's nothing positive that I see or hear from a lot of today's music.
Well, I think your observation is spot on, because the country, I believe, is somewhat devolved from E Pluribus Unum, or E Pluribus Unum, to E Pluribus Multis. It's split into a number of tribes. And when things like that happen, each tribe then begins to search for and adapt what they believe to be the art of their, that represent, that they believe represents their particular tribe. So music, I think, has become tribal as well. I think that's your point, that it's now become signage, you know, and an identifier for something else besides what it was before. I mean, I don't use Kindle. I read books because I make notes. My mom taught me to read when I was very young. And to me, a book is something that you hold forever. You make notes in the margin. You go back. You know, it's something, like you say, it's a personal interaction with the author, artist, whomever you might want to call it. I agree. I'm uncertain as to the outcome of all of this.
It's really scary. And to take you back, just to show you how intently I listened to you, an interview that you gave years ago, you said, we have turned into a microwavable society. Everything is quick.
Well, I'm afraid that's true on a lot of levels. But bottom line is, I'm going out on tour like I always did. I'm going to play the crap out of the guitar. I'm going to bring unbelievable players with me. And I think there is still room for artist to listener communication. As a matter of fact, I remember when all this first started happening when music became digital streaming, people thought I was going to be the end of the world. And all of a sudden, all these blues clubs started springing up around the United States. People wanted to go to hear whatever, maybe their roots music in a sense, because the blues certainly is the foundation of much of American music. But they wanted to see and hear and be there and experience. So I'm not completely given up yet.
Okay.
If there is such a thing as an artistic Pandora's box, you know, the myth of Pandora, when Pandora opened the box and all the stuff flew out, the only stuff at the bottom of the box was hope. So I think that there is still that. Because people keep coming to our shows, and they like it, and they stay. So, okay, well, unless I'm missing something here.
No, I mean, music is a universal language of togetherness. It has been proven time and time again that it has the ability to unite, as you say, tribes, to unite people. There's no color lines when you bring transparency in music. And speaking of blues, one of the tracks on your new album, of course, Speed of Heat, I Can Do Without, featuring Johnny Lang.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness. An incredible track. How did you manage to get Johnny on the track? Because he's pulled the linen for a little while. He just kind of disappeared and went off to an extended vacation. So how did you manage to get him on the album?
Well, Johnny's an old friend anyway. We met many years ago, actually at Sundance Film Festival, when we were ended up on stage together. And he had, after we played, you know, we played together for about an hour. It was a lot of fun. And so he said to me, I hear, you know, you're into law enforcement. I said, yeah, I did 15 years LAPD, and, you know, a couple of other things. He said, well, I'm really interested in getting into law enforcement. I said, sure. Just tell me where you live. I'll make a call to the sheriff, see what the, you know, situation is. If you want to, you know, you got to go to the academy. You got to do stuff. But if you want to, happy to do it. And then about 3 months later, he really started to get busy again in terms of his art. So we talked, and he said, yeah, I think I'm going to, you know, postpone. I said, no problem, you know, anytime you want. And I said, but I'm doing, he said, so what are you up to? I said, I'm doing a solo record. Never done one with my musical partner, CJ Vanston. We've been talking about doing this for years, and now we are kind of, you know, getting up to speed here. And he said, well, if you'd like me to do something, I said, in a heartbeat. I've already got Clint Black and Mike McDonald. Why not?
Yeah.
It'd be great. And so he came down to the studio, and we did the track, but we didn't have any lyrics. So we said to Johnny, go out to the mic and just scat. It'll make noises. You know, vowel and diphthong, you know, whatever, and we'll record it. So we did that. We recorded it, and CJ and I then took that and found words that matched as closely as possible to the scat and the vocal sounds he was making. So we wrote lyrics. He came back down and went, whoa, what's this? I said, hey, we just, you know, took our best shot. I said, let's do it. number one, that's how the lyrics came out. And then number two, the idea was I really enjoy playing with him. He likes to play with me. So we thought we'd do a call and response, which I think worked out, you know, fairly well.
Well, I'm telling you, I've listened to the entire album, and it is incredible. And I don't know what it is. I guess it's something in the water, but it's something magical with you and Michael McDonald. You guys go all the way back to Steely Dan, and you're the one that actually brought him to the Doobie Brothers. And I wanted to ask, what is it like working with him? Because it's like you guys just really complement each other from a musical standpoint. It almost seems like a very much kindred spirit type of vibe that you give off with one another.
Well, you asked me why. All I can do is quote Skeeter Davis, right? Why does the sun go on shining? You know, why does the sea rush to shore? I don't know. But when we first got together, we certainly discovered that we enjoyed playing together. It reminded me a little bit of the Rod Stewart, Jeff Beck union, which I think has the same kind of chemistry. And
right.
What is it like? And I don't know, but it's always a delight. I love playing with Michael, and we've been friends for a long time. And again, it was going to be an instrumental record. I was, you know, I'm a big Ventures fan. I'm a big Wes Montgomery fan, Django Reinhardt, Charlie Christian. So I was just going to do songs that I like. That's why I did Apache, because to me that was one of great guitar instrumentals. A little more thermonuclear than normal, but yeah, why not? And when Mike said, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing a solo record. I said, well, do you want me to do something on it? And immediately I said, you know what? Absolutely. Change. 90 degrees. Turn. Now we're going to do some vocals. And, I mean, I even did a vocal. And the only reason I did that is because Steve, the lead singer oh, God. I tell you, I'm getting old.
No, you're not getting
Steve
old. Age is just a number, my man.
I sent a copy of Miles. I sent a copy of Miles School to Steve Tyler. And I said, Steve, could you sing this? I think it'd be great. And he said, well, yeah, okay, but who's singing on the demo? I said, well, that's me. But forget that. And he said, why? I said, well, because I'm not a singer. He said, you need to sing this. I said, are you bullshitting me? And he said, no, man, I'm telling you the truth. So I figured he knows way more about that stuff than I do. So I took a shot. So that was kind of inspiration from Michael and Clint and Johnny to do something. And that's kind of how the album morphed into what it is. And I got to give a tremendous amount of credit to my buddy CJ Baston, co-produced the record with me. We co-wrote a lot of the tunes on the record. As a matter of fact, the deal was when Clint and Michael and everybody said they wanted to work on the record, we said, okay, here's the deal. You have to co-write with myself and CJ. Three, we're going to write this, three of us. And you have to do something that you've never done before. I mean, it's not going to be the same old, same old. And so when I played Bad Move, Clint's song, for his wife, she kind of half-jokingly said, who's that? I said, that's your husband. He's an unbelievable artist. This guy can do anything, and he's so good at it. And when Johnny came back down and he heard the chorus on I Can Do Without, I mean, that is like, that's Mach 3. So, yeah, and Michael's cut. He's never done anything like that. So, yeah, I guess, I don't know what happened. We just went for it.
You did a wonderful job. You did an outstanding job. And one of the things that I appreciate about the entire album is that it's very raw, because I think a lot of times artists get in the studio and they put so much emphasis on making sure everything is polished, and it takes away from the essence of what the music should be, and it's raw. To me, the album's like it represents one big bowl of jambalaya. You have some rock, you have some blues, you have some jazz mixed in. It's a beautiful, beautiful flavor. So Far be it from me to deprive the listening audience of some wonderful music. So let's get into, of course, one of the many wonderfully written and arranged tracks from this new album, Speed of Heat, My Place in the Sun, featuring the legendary Mr. Michael McDonald here on Night Tracks Radio.
Trace my steps up to this moment. All at once it's clear to me, just like the pieces of a puzzle, exactly as they need to be. Not to embrace my desolation, though I'm no stranger to this place, still one memory brings a smile like a warm breeze across my face. My place in the sun, so cool and clear. Even now, still you find me here. Let faith be my light, darkness my fact. I need only believe to find my way back to my place in the sun. Place in the sun. The only thing that's real is what's inside our mind. We forget more than we remember. The answer seems so hard to find. From all the distance in the journey, and the search for what is true, as sure as the seasons changing, I keep my faith in you. My place in the sun, so true and clear. Even now
Redemption. Lord have mercy. The new hit single, of course, from the album Speed of Hate, Jeff Skunk Baxter featuring Michael McDonald, My Place in the Sun, here on Night Tracks Radio. My goodness, that takes me back to a much simpler time. I know I'm living in the past, but that's all right. I'm fine with it. One of the things that was really just eating on me when I get Brother Baxter on the show, I got to ask you this. Why is it so challenging for successful groups to stay together?
Well, the old formula is women, money, and drugs. Because, psychological point of view, because most artists have low self-esteem, because art is a way to, or they start out with low self-esteem, and hopefully they conquer that particular problem. But because of that, they use art as a way to communicate in another way. And many times, the more successful someone becomes, and it's not even just, you know, in music and art, but in real life as well, and the more successful one becomes, the less that it lines up with your vision of yourself. If you have low self-esteem, sometimes it'll kill you. Finally, you'll be so successful that one part of you says, you don't deserve this. Go kill yourself. So with too much money and a lot of time on your hands, I mean, there is that problem. And then, of course, there is the interesting dynamic of, well, and I'm probably going to be not very woke here, but I still think there are men and women, and they do have a dynamic that happens. And sometimes that's a problem. And then when you start making huge amounts of money, anytime anybody makes money, that gets very interesting. So in any corporation, it's the same thing in a lot of ways. I know, you know, I do a lot of work in Washington, D.C. You know, I work at the Pentagon and I do all this stuff. And somebody asked me, God, you know, so different than Washington. I go, no, it's not. Washington's Hollywood for ugly people. I mean, it's the same stuff: sex, drugs, power, money, influence. You just have to be pretty on the West Coast. Other than that, it's the same. So what I'm describing to you is you're asking me about a slice of the pie of human condition, and yeah, it's a slice, but it's fairly common across humanity.
You know, I guess for me, what's so unsettling, I had the pleasure of speaking with Chuck Negrone from Three Dog Night, and
I like Chuck.
Beautiful person. And he was you know, telling me, you know, the accessibilities that took place in the 70s. Where you had people who were just ready to do and give you anything, and if you don't really truly understand the industry, and you've seen people that you have admired in the industry, and you end up following their lead, and it becomes really, as you say, very obsessive behavior. And he paid the ultimate price for that. And I know I'm 58. So I'm a child of the 70s, so I know.
Wow, you're just a baby. I love it. Good for you. Good for you,
man. Hey, you know what, Brother Baxter? I don't feel like it anymore.
Well, I'm going to be 75 in December, so young man, go for it.
But you were around it. You seen it. How were you? I guess I can ask you, how did you survive it, or how did you navigate through that? But you've always had a very strong and outspoken personality. But how were you able to kind of navigate that, especially through the 70s?
Well, I would say the thing that saved me probably from some of the more horrible stuff, the fact that I was a studio musician. And being a studio musician is very different than, you know, being a performer in that the producer of the project that you work on, he doesn't give a damn what band you're in, how long your hair is, or how cool you are. Here's the music, play it, don't make a mistake, or there's 100 people waiting for that spot. So to me, even though, and I am not at all disparaging performing and being a quote, if there is such a thing as a rock star, I don't consider myself a rock star, but being a performer and being in that genre, to me, the most important thing is being a good craftsman. When I go in the studio for somebody else, my job is to, is in a sense, a tradesman. My job is to do the best that I can and ultimately help the artist that I'm working for realize their vision. So to do that, it's like you can't really show up to building a house as a carpenter if you're shit-faced. You can't nail straight. You can't saw right. You probably cut your legs off. If you do, you have to have your head on straight. So right. I look at it the same way, and that kept me focused. I'm not going to say I didn't party hardy, and there's certainly, you know, I am not, you know, righteous at all in that point of view. But when I came home from a tour, take a couple of days off, and I'm in the studio working for, whether it's Dolly Parton or Donna Summer or, you know, Rod Stewart or whoever it would be, my job is to do it and do it right. And to me, that means that you have to, have your head screwed on straight. So I think there was a part of me that was a self-defense mechanism that would trigger when things got, you know, a little over the top.
Well, it's unfortunate that a lot of great artists didn't have that kind of wherewithal or same mentality to say, you know what, enough is enough, because it's very easy when you're not used to being a star and then all of a sudden people are telling you, or as you stated earlier, egos, money, women, rock and roll, so to speak, and people are constantly telling you how great you are and you don't need this person and you don't need that person, and you start to believe your own hype, and then you go on your personal journey of demise. And I've seen a lot of great artists experience that. That's why it's an honor for me to have you on the show. I've been a long admirer of your music, an admirer of your style. I can't express how much I love your outspokenness. You mean what you say. You say what you mean, and a lot of people can't handle it. I love it. I love it, and I admire it, and I respect it. I respect it. I thought we had the obligation. I thought this country was made of freedom of speech. That's what I thought, but unfortunately,
I'm a First Amendment fan, and I've taken an oath twice. I've taken an oath twice to defend the Constitution. Once as a peace officer, and once working for the government. And yes, I believe in that. And I think you're correct, especially when you talk about being surrounded by people who probably, for whatever reason, whether it's wanting to keep their job, wanting to keep the relationship, for whatever reason, will tell you what you want to hear and not tell you the truth. That's another reason why when you go into the studio, if you screw up, you're fired.
Yeah.
You don't care. I don't care who you are. And the other... I grew up, my dad really instilled a work ethic in me. There's no doubt about it. But the idea that you try to surround yourself with friends who will not bullshit you. People, and you know who your true friends are because they will tell you when you're losing the plot.
Yeah.
Now, whether you listen, that's a whole other thing. But your point is well taken about who you have in your orbit.
Yeah, it is. It's really true. I remember you said once, you know, people are quick to blow smoke up your ass.
All have no cattle? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
Lord have mercy. Family, be sure to get the new album, of course, Speed of Heat. You can stop by Brother Baxter's official website to get all his upcoming tour information. That's at jeffskunkbaxter.com. Please don't wait another 13 or 14 or 15 years to make another album.
I'm already thinking about this because I didn't know, did the record, because I thought it was time to do a solo record. And like anything else, if you do it for any other reason, because you want to just do it, it probably won't work out. And what's amazing to me is the rock stuff on the record, which I thought would be what radio would want to play. They're playing Giselle and Juliet. And the country stations are starting to play Bad Move. And I thought, well, you know what? That's good. I don't need to know, and I shouldn't try to know. I'm just going to leave it to the gods and see what happens. So I will try to come up with something that hopefully will make you as happy and satisfied as what we did before. I appreciate the compliment. It means a lot. It truly does. If somebody actually cares. And thank you for taking the time, and thank you for your hospitality.
Oh, no, it is my pleasure, Brother Baxter. Again, I've been a long admirer of your music. As you said, I'm a baby, but, man, I don't feel like one at 58.
It's okay. 50 is the new 35, so you're cool.
I hope so.
You're good, man.
Oh, man, I got it. Before I let you go, when are you coming to Houston to perform? There are so many venues out here that would love to see you perform live.
Well, it's interesting because the first gig that Steely Dan ever did was at Liberty Hall. I mean,
wow.
We did a couple of gigs here in L.A., but that was our first road gig. And I always had a kind of a special place for Houston because I thought that, and they welcomed us with open arms, which you got to figure. You talk about weird. I mean, here's a band. Yeah, anyway, enough said. What the hell are we doing in Texas? And people were wonderful. So we're going to do, after we do this tour, we may go back to Japan because we did that about 6 months ago. And we want to do a tour of the South, you know, get down into that whole area and play. I have a lot of friends in Houston and Dallas, and I really would love to spend some time down there. So I can't tell you when, but it is on the radar. We're tracking, as we say.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. And, hey, this is your home away from home. Whatever you need, please do not hesitate to let us know. And, again, family, be sure to get the new album, Speed of Heat. It is an incredible album. Like I said, if you love Jambalaya, this is the album for you. It has a mixture of everything.
I do love
rock. Right.
I do love Jambalaya. As a matter of fact, I'm going to Washington next week because I got to work at the Pentagon. And Artie's is the Cajun restaurant there that is awesome. So I'm going to start off with scallops wrapped in bacon, cooked in maple syrup, and then I will have shrimp and crab etouffee. Then I will have a bowl of jambalaya to start. Absolutely. And by the way, just so you know, do you know what Speed of Heat is?
No, please tell me.
Speed of Heat is the phenomenon, the thermodynamic, aerodynamic phenomenon that happens when something approaches Mach 1, the speed of sound.
Okay.
And we CJ, my music partner, he's an aviation buff, and I spent a lot of time in airplanes, especially military. And so we just had Speed of Heat as the working title, and the president of the record company said, I love the title of the record. I said, what's the title of the record? I said, Speed of Heat. Oh, okay. Do you know what it is? No, I don't care. I love the thing. So if you look at the album cover, I don't know if you have it in front of you. But
yes,
if you look at the album cover, you'll notice a bunch of equations behind me.
Yes.
Right? Can you?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was in Northrop Grumman for 20 years, and I got a call from a buddy of mine over there, an aeronautics engineer, about 6 months ago, and he said, I know what those are. I said, okay, Curtis, what are they? He said, those are oblong pressure wave equations, aren't they? I went, yes, they are. And he said, speed of heat. I get it. So, you know, a little inside stuff there.
Man, hey, like Maurice White once said, I yearn to learn. Lord have mercy. Yearn to learn. It's a beautiful thing. Brother, I want to thank you for always keeping things solid, remaining true to who you are. Again, it was an honor and a privilege for me to have you on the show. Whatever you need, please do not hesitate to let us know. Continued joyous and prosperous journey, man. The journey has just begun for you. Continued success, okay?
Well, thank you again for your hospitality, and thank you again for the invitation, and thank you again for the kind words. I mean, it does mean a lot. And thank you for the good send-off. And I spent a lot of time in the U.S. Navy working on Navy projects. And as they say, may you have fair winds and following seas.
Lord have mercy. So it is written, so it shall be done. Brother Baxter, thank you so much, my man.
Thank you, sir.
All right. The legendary Jeff Skunk Baxter here on Night Tracks Radio. Remember, family, the new album, Speed of Heat, is available as we speak. Make sure you stop by Skunk's official website to get all the latest tours and tour information. But more importantly, get the new album. That's at JeffSkunkBaxter.com. Going to take a little quick two and two, some music therapy. Yeah, I know what you're saying. The music therapy, always soothing to the air. And while I got you here safe and sound, let's take a small voyage to Atlantis. The Heisen Brothers here on Night Tracks Radio.
My lady, now and ever.
Mr. Jeff Skunk Baxter, thank you so much for honoring us with your presence this evening. Remember, family, get the new album Speed of Heat, available on all social media platforms. But be sure you stop by Skunk's official website to get all the tour information. That's at jeffskunkbaxter.com. And remember, family, ones who tuned in late to get an opportunity to hear their interview in its entirety, no need to worry. We got you covered. We're going to post it. It's going to be on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, which is at YouTube. That's at Night Tracks Radio Podcast. Also on TikTok, Night Tracks Radio, again, with two X's. And be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Facebook so you can get all the latest updates. That's at Facebook at Night Tracks Radio. And the last but certainly not least, Instagram. That's at Instagram.com/Night Tracks Radio. It's been a pleasure. And without you, there's no teddy bear, Mr. Radio Extraordinaire. Have a wonderful weekend. Be sure to get all the latest updates. You got to stay informed. I've seen the need. I'm here to fulfill those needs. Miles Candido's family, and always keep it soulful here on Night Tracks Radio.